Welcome to the Learning Innovation Unit podcast. This series of podcasts are designed to share staff experiences across a range of areas relating to learning and teaching. It is my pleasure to welcome today's speaker, Dr. Matt Offord, lecturer from the Adam Smith Business School. Matt, can you just spend a moment and introduce yourself to everyone listening to the podcast?
Thanks very much, John. As you said, my name is Matt Offord. I'm a leadership scholar at the Adam Smith Business School, and I'm also a digital educator. I have a background in industry, so I'm a second career academic, just recently coming across after I had a career in the Royal Navy as a naval officer and then run my own business for a little while as a leadership consultant. And I've been with Adam Smith Business School now for about 2.5 years. Developing online courses, mostly in management and leadership.
Excellent. Thank you, Matt. So the purpose of today's podcast and the focus of this podcast is on your experiences of designing and soon to be delivering a micro-credential housed on the FutureLearn platform, and it commences in September 2021. So first of all, Matt, can you just tell us about why you wanted to launch this micro-credential on FutureLearn and just briefly tell us a little bit about the course in its entirety?
Okay, yeah. So I was keen from the point of joining the school really to do something in leadership. So that's I guess the first point when you're looking at the topic is to offer that leadership courses and share my experience of leadership and also the research that I've done over the years. So that was my kind of primary focus, if you like. And then as somebody who was employed by the school to teach online and to sort of lead online, so I do some face-to-face as well, but you know, that being my main focus, FutureLearn was a fairly instinctive choice to make, or yes to say, if you like, when that option was offered. So I was looking for opportunities, and this opportunity came along. So that sort of ticked both boxes for me. I think that leadership is something that everybody seems to know about. Everybody certainly has an opinion about. So it has very wide appeal. And I think that a platform like FutureLearn can get out to that wider audience. So it's an area where online education, I think, really appeals.
So it's a great way of diversifying the portfolio offering from the business school and using your own courses in leadership to offer a data-driven leadership skills micro-credential.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yes, that's a good point, actually, because it was sort of beyond leadership, if you like, in the sense that I have a really specific interest, something I'm quite passionate about, and that is how leadership responds to the age of data and how data, AI, algorithms and all that kind of thing really impacts on leadership. So I wanted to create a course, most data kind of I want to say data-based courses without sort of talking about databases, but you know, data-based courses tend to be about program technical skills. And I didn't want that. I wanted a course that was for data savvy leaders, people who know about data, who understand technology and how it impacts modern decision making without necessarily being a data scientist. So that's particularly what I wanted, and I didn't really see anything like that. So as you say, it's a chance to add that to the Adam Smith Business School portfolio, but also to engage in something which I think adds value currently. I think a lot of in my career as a consultant, I noticed a lot of people who are just a lot of leaders who are just swamped with data, you know, this data inundation. They don't know what to do about it. So they don't want to become data scientists, but they can't afford to ignore the data either. Yeah. So that's where I wanted to come in.
Yeah, fantastic. It's a great overview. And it segues me on nicely to sort of my next question. So I've had the pleasure of sort of helping you with the course design and the rest of the team at the Learner Innovation Support Unit, who have helped you with mapping out your 10 credit course. So as you know, Matt, we use a very learner-centered approach to course design, and we have an online tool to creatively help you map out that learner journey through each week of your course. So from your approach, can you tell us a little bit about your experiences of using that course design framework, and where you felt there was really the benefits of using that approach, or equally if there was any sort of drawbacks or negatives that you found of using this quite, you know, unique approach?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing I'll say is that it's really been a pleasure to work with that team. And I think that's really worth bringing that out, because for me, what I find is that in academia, there's quite a lot of work which is done in isolation. And I'm not necessarily well suited to that type of work. I'm much more used to working within teams. So I actually found this FutureLearn course, and working with the Learning Innovation Unit as well, was particularly enjoyable for me, because you've got that team around you, and I just personally feel a lot more comfortable when I've got a team that I'm working with. Apart from anything else, you're just bouncing ideas off of people. So you've got this idea of whether, if you have an idea about leadership, and it maybe it's a bit tenuous or something, you know, I mean, leadership again is one of those subjects, it's quite good because everybody has an opinion about it. So you can pitch an idea, and if you don't get that kind of, oh yeah, that's going to work type of response, you realize that either that's a bad idea, or that idea needs a bit of work in order to make the connection. So in a way, you're road testing everything before you go. You've also got access to all that experience and expertise, various elements of putting that platform together, course design, pedagogy, different ways of engaging with your audience. So that's always, for me, that's always going to be better. So I really enjoy that. I know that not everybody would enjoy working in that way. I'm also quite an iterative kind of worker, if you like. So I like to get a prototype up and running, and then iterate from there. And I'm quite happy to make mistakes in the way. I'm quite happy to publicly make mistakes as well. And again, I do appreciate that other people might not everyone's going to go for that. So some people would prefer to work something up to near perfection, kind of, you know, in isolation somewhere, and then bring it out. So it's just, there are different ways of working. But for me, this way works really well. I really like it. I like the fact that the platform is quite clean, in the sense that it's not overloaded with information. It's quite structured. I think when I think of the audience that we're trying to reach with this micro-credential, these are probably busy people who probably don't have time to learn to navigate their way through a complex learning journey. So this platform really kind of says, you know, week one, do this, week two, do that. It's quite straightforward. So, you know, I actually really have enjoyed that. I'm trying to think of something negative to say, because it doesn't sound very intelligent if you just say everything's great. But I can't really think of any negatives, to be honest. I've greatly enjoyed it.
That's really good to hear. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but obviously there's a time commitment to spending the amount of time and effort you put into the course mapping stage and working with the Learner Innovation Unit. So would you say that potentially that time was a bit of a barrier, that you had to give up so many hours to really unpick the course at that granular level of where you want the learners to go at each step in their learning journey within each week?
Well, yes, I mean, I do agree. But then on the other hand, I have to say, you know, it takes time to build any course, online courses in particular, because if you want a student or a learner to be, you know, an independent learner, then you have to put some signposting in, you know, whereas certainly like face to face, you can dispense with some of that, because you can just deliver what you've got, and you can take questions, and it's a little bit easier around that particular sort of interface. Online learning, you really do need to put the time in to signpost it. So there is this bigger upfront commitment anyway. So this doesn't differ in that sense. Yeah, I did spend a lot of time building that course, and yeah, it is a bit all consuming. I'll sort of say that. But then I think once you've been through it once, it's going to get easier. I mean, the novelty for me was using, so the FutureLearn, without getting too technical, the FutureLearn platform uses Markdown language, and I've never used Markdown language before. Mm-hmm. That was really interesting. So I know markup languages, but I never used Markdown languages. So that was like a new skill, if you like, to learn. I don't want to over egg this because it didn't take long to learn it. I mean, the whole point of the Markdown language is it's basically a series of shortcuts. So once you've learned it, it's actually considerably easier than doing a sort of click and drag type of website type of design. So there's a bit of an investment in learning how to use the platform itself, and that tends to take up a bit of time. And I think once you've become accomplished at that, then actually it becomes quite a lot easier.
Yeah, I think you're right. With any new platform or approach, there is an upfront commitment in your time. And just for everyone who's listening, as we've recorded this in May, I know, just for argument's sake, the future and are working on simplifying their design of how to add content, so it will become much more of a word editor base rather than the language you mentioned, Matt. But it's very important to know that there is a time investment with any new platform and any new approach. Let me just sort of cycle back to the design element of your course and the effort that you put in, and we will add links to the design mapping framework that anyone can look at and use. It's there for everyone to adopt if they wish. But that design framework has been designed to be platform agnostic. So we have a version for FutureLearn, we have a version for Moodle, and we have a version that suits Coursera. The approach and the platforms can be covered within the framework and the approach itself. So now you've been through this experience once, do you think that you'll use this again for, you know, Moodle-based courses, whether they be face-to-face, blended, or maybe some of your online MSE courses?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think what that framework does is it forces you to think about all the different aspects of that learning. Sorry to use this sort of cliche, but this learning journey. So it's quite easy, particularly when you're teaching something that you're passionate about, to go into digressions or to spend a lot of time on those aspects that you find particularly exciting. And you might, it's easy to forget to build a framework that the learners themselves are going to use to move to that point where you're trying to deliver the learning. So what the framework does is it breaks that journey down into those steps. You know, you can call it the scaffolding if you like. So I think that's really useful as a kind of checklist. It's useful. I think that, you know, there is a problem if people take it sort of too literally and, you know, insist that they have to have all the steps, which might not be appropriate in all the different courses. So it has to be a guideline, but I do find it a useful guideline for me in particular, because I can digress, so it keeps me on track. The FutureLearn kind of platform itself and the philosophy keeps you on track. It's quite focused and value sort of oriented. So all of that works together. And then to answer your other question about whether I would use it, yeah, I do use it. Actually, we're using the same framework on another project that I'm doing across Scottish universities to run the entrepreneurial program. They use exactly the same framework, so it's quite useful to be familiar with it. It's actually, there are hints of that framework in our response to the COVID crisis as well. We built a framework for remote teaching, and there are it's not sort of front and center, but there are a number of sort of links out to that design framework as well, and learning design planners and what have you, which use the same approach.
Excellent. I just want to go back to touch upon one thing you said there was that the framework isn't really designed to be, once you've designed it, then that's exactly how it ends up on the chosen platform. The whole purpose of it is for you to get a solid outline of that course, that learner journey, the signposting to learners from one topic to another or one resource to the other. And it allows for digression as and when course evolves. It happens right up until possibly the day before the course goes live that you feel like adding content in or removing content. So it's not supposed to be prescriptive in that manner, but it's good that it provides a focus and is a what I have certainly found that to be helpful for some members of staff is more of a work tracker as well. So they know that there's X amount of content and X amount of style of delivery, whether it be video mode, audio or something else. And it acts as a bit of a work tracker for people to tick off what's been done and where it is, which is quite interesting to hear that side of it as well.
I think as well, if I could just add there, I've seen different staff use that framework in different ways. So to take a sort of extreme opposite of what I'm like, I know a colleague who took that framework and sort of created a template for a whole course, a whole 10 credit course with all the acquisition and different phases that are in there, and laid it all out in a table. It was a very, very complex table that was literally a sort of blow by blow account of what the whole course was going to look like, that had all of the different, had reflective sections, acquisition, as I said before, all the different things in between, and really mapped out the whole journey on there. And they found that really, really useful. Whereas what I would tend to do is kind of throw something up there as a prototype. And this is why I found the Miro boards really, really useful as a visual interpretation, and just throw a few post-its at a wall, literally, and then kind of go back to it and say, right, have we got the balance of acquisition, which could be quite passive, and reflection, collaboration, and so on? Have we got all of that in there? And then I'll sort of notice that there's a lot of, I'll use color. So, there'll be a lot of blue post-its there and not very many green ones. So I'll sort of like chop things around and do it in that iterative style. But both styles kind of work using that framework. So.
Yeah, I think that's a very important point that it's you can use it depending on how it suits your needs and what your personal style is to course design. So that's a very good point. So Matt, sort of in closing, just do you have any key takeaway messages for the staff who are listening to this podcast, that you maybe not touched upon about sort of course design or any lessons learned that you wish to share that may be a good takeaway point for staff just before we conclude.
Yeah, I think the thing that I've learned over this last 15 months, I'm not just talking about the pivot online that we've done at Adam Smith, but also the work that I've done through FutureLearn, because, and also this work that I'm doing with this entrepreneurial program as well, is that you put, I mean, what I really like, there's two things I think really. One is I really think the team-based approach works for online. So even if that's not your thing, I think it's worth noting that it is particularly appropriate to this online side of it, because you've got technology for one thing. So it helps to have people on the team that understand that particular technology. It's a different type of pedagogy as well. I mean, a lot of people will kind of say, well, teaching is teaching, so it doesn't really matter. I think maybe if you're a kind of rock star lecturer that can just hold an audience and just, captivate people, then that's great if you're one of those people, and perhaps teaching is teaching. But I think for most of us, mere mortals, I think that online environment represents particular challenges getting that message across. So, I think having a team around you really, really helps, because they can kind of say, well, I've looked at your platform and do you know what? I just don't get where we're going with this. I'm just not quite seeing it. And that really does help. So, there's that team-based kind of approach. And I think also what I found is quite easy in the online environment to throw a lot of content at it, and kind of because it's a bit. So I think there's this sort of massive gap when we did in face-to-face teaching. I mean, it hasn't gone completely. It's almost morning face-to-face teaching, but of course it will come back in some form. But when we face-to-face teach, sorry for the English there, basically we kind of give maybe 10% or 20% of the content of a course. So if it's a 10 credit course, we might teach for 20 hours, but we expect learners to spend about 100 hours studying. What happens to those other 80 hours? Well, in a face-to-face in a face-to-face course, we didn't really think very much about those other 80 hours. So we'd give them some signposts and generally say, look, you need to read around this subject, and here's some recommendations, and here's a reading list. But we sort of left it at that. And for some reason that I don't fully understand, when we went online, we started mapping that whole 100 hours out and adding the sort of 100 hours worth of content. And the effect of that on essentially a web page is quite overwhelming, I think, for some students. So I think in the online environment, the other thing I've learned is that sometimes less is more, and we need to actually kind of blend those two approaches, the face-to-face kind of allowing students to find out things for themselves, versus the temptation, or maybe it's just me, to sort of structure everything online. And we have to sort of, throttle back on that sort of temptation a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic point to conclude on there, because it leaves a lot of food for thought for staff. And I'm sure a lot of people will be listening to this podcast and nodding their head in agreement
Hope so.
with you on that. So, Matt, can I just say a big thank you to you for spending the time to talk with me today and sharing your experiences with staff listening. I hope it's been beneficial to everyone who is listening to the podcast, and we will be releasing more podcasts like this in the near future. If you'd like to be part of one of these podcast series, please get in touch with any member of the Learner Innovation Support Unit. Matt, once again, thank you.
Thank you, John. It's been a real pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.